this is Joe Shirey with Microsoft, and I'm here today with one of our architect MVPs out of Montreal by the name of Mario Cardinal. We're here to talk a little bit about developing applications and how you can separate out some of your concerns within your applications to help with your application development. Mario, welcome. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. Hello, Joe. As you said, I'm based in Montreal, and for a living, I'm an independent consultant. And usually, you know, like large financial institutions, they will hire me as an architect to build, you know, to structure the software development that they need to do, and also to mentor the team. So I end up not just building the architecture, but lots of time I'll end up also being responsible for configuration management, mainly with Team System, because this is a technology that I'm quite good with, and also handling all the intricacy related with the relationship with the IT group. Okay. So that's what I do for a living, and at night and the rest of the week, I'm deeply involved in the Montreal.NET community. I'm leading an architecture user group there. And for almost 4 years now, I've also been doing a French podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called Visual Studio Talk Show. So for the ones who may speak French and tune in for the last 4 years, thank you. We have almost over 1,000 listeners across the world.
Fantastic. So we were talking earlier about this whole concept of separation of concerns when you're developing applications. Can you explain that a little bit to me and why it's important?
Well, this is important because, you know, we, the human, the only way we can conquer complexity is by dividing and conquer. Mm-hmm. Which basically means that we will take the whole problem and divide it in simpler module. And the way we define a module is usually we will look at what are the concerns of this problem domain,
right,
and made a module to handle this concern. And one thing that is very important, and in a perfect world, we'll just make sure that all these concerns, which end up being encapsulated in a module, will be totally separated. Because that way, our system will be very stable.
Right.
But the difficulty that we face when we build a system, a computer system, is that these modules, these concerns, need to collaborate all together. If I'm using like an object-oriented programming environment like .NET, mm-hmm. the way that I will encapsulate concern is a class. So this class, when I will instantiate it, will be an object, and all the objects in memory need to collaborate all together in order to solve the problem that the software is supposed to do. And managing correctly this concern and making sure that I ensure a good separation of concern is one of the major tasks of an architect.
Right. So we've established that's fairly important. You mentioned earlier something about testing mm-hmm. as being important. Can you explain that?
Yeah, because one thing that always surprised me is we, as architect and also developer, we build module. Mm-hmm. But a lot of time, we don't ensure that these module will be testable as a unit. We will grab all the module and do functional testing and testing from the UI. But making sure that a simple class will be testable, and that will be able to automate the test using a framework like NUnit or the Microsoft.NET test framework. This is very important. If the basic block of your application, you cannot ensure that they are testable, how can you ensure that the whole system will be good?
Right.
So, and that's a major issue, making sure that you can succeed having modules which are testable, because every module collaborate with other one, you end up having a lot of dependencies.
Right.
And to isolate from these dependencies in order to just test this module, this is a major challenge right now with object-oriented platform.
That makes sense, and I can see how that would help in a development team so that individual developers could be responsible for a certain piece of code and know that it's tested, know that the quality is there. Mm-hmm. So now that we've talked a little bit about that and why it's important, what are some of the strategies a developer might use or an architect might use to help foster that separation of concerns?
Okay. Basically, when we talk about separation of concern, as I said, the point is to create module. In order for us to create module which will be correct, we need first to ensure that the module have a strong cohesion. so that every module will have only one responsibility, for example, one responsibility, and also that we decouple the module so that we ensure that the dependency between module is the minimum one we can have.
Right.
And the strategy that we can use to managing coupling, for example, is to first avoid collaboration with concrete class.
Okay.
Let's say that the module that I'm using is class, because in object-oriented programming, that's the major module we use.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that I should always make sure is that if I'm going to depend on a class, another class, I should make sure that this class is abstract. It is an interface.
Gotcha.
So first strategy. Second strategy, you know, at some point I will have to instantiate objects. Because there's two things that we do when we collaborate. We either call a method, or we instantiate the object so that at some point we'll be able to ask this object, do that for me.
Right.
And instantiating an object is something very difficult to do correctly, because as soon as you instantiate the object, you're dependent on it.
Right.
And one strategy is to say, you know what? I will not take responsibility for instantiating the object. I will ask a third party, a special class which will be responsible for instantiating for me the object. And right now, there's two ways you could transfer responsibility to a third party.
Right.
You either say, you know what, I'm going to explicitly call a special class and say, create for me an instance of a class person.
Mm-hmm.
So it will send me back an object representing person, and I'll be able to collaborate with this object. So that's the strategy of explicitly asking, and the pattern for that, the main pattern that people use for doing that is the service locator.
Okay, service locator.
The other strategy is to say, I'm not going to explicitly ask for a third-party class to create for me. I'm going to embed myself inside a container, an inversion of control container, and this container will be responsible to inject automatically for me my dependency.
Right.
So basically, when I will construct or instantiate a new object, the dependency that will happens to be in the constructor will automatically appears, because the container will know that I have this dependency and will have rules on how to create it.
Gotcha.
So now my job will be more to define the rule for automatically injecting the dependency.
That makes sense. Now, it sounds like, based on what we talked about, that using interfaces when you're creating a class or defining a reference to an object is very important.
Yeah, this is important for the main reason why it is important is, when I will want to test my single module, my single class, in test mode, I will want the test to run very fast, because I want to automate it, and I don't want a test to take 20 minutes or 30 minutes to run.
Mm-hmm.
So I will want to take apart or to get rid of all the dependency on the infrastructure class. For example, let's say that I'm asking a logger to log something. I'm having class for handling security, handling class for handling persistence. So all these infrastructure dependency, I will want to, instead of using the real objects, to use a stub or a mock. And the only way that I can do that is if I'm using an interface. Because right now, the .NET platform, we live in a strongly typed world, you know, where at some point, I cannot just say to, if I'm expecting to use a class person, if I try to say, oh, instead I'm going to use mock person, the type, you know, the C# compiler, for example, will tell me, no, you're not allowed.
Right.
But if instead I say, no, I'm using an I person, so it's very easy at runtime to change and say, oh, I'm going to inject a mock instead of the real object. And so with this strategy, when I will run my test, my unit test, I'll mock all the dependency on the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So now this test will run very fast, and I'll be able to automate my test.
Right.
And secondly, the other benefits that I will gain from that, I will be able to build tests for my business object. Because my personal experience right now, if I go in any teams, lots of them knows about unit tests. Lots of them wants to build unit tests, and lots of them build unit tests for their low-level objects, because they have almost no dependency.
Right.
But the real objects, the objects that are very important for the organization, like if I'm building an inventory system, there will probably be like a purchase or order system. There'll probably be money objects. You know, lots of objects. All these objects, usually they don't have automated unit tests, because it's too complicated for the team to manage the dependency.
Right.
What I mean by that is, as soon as they try to create unit tests, they find out, oh, you know what? I have to instantiate some data in my database in order for me to run the test. Oh, I have to also to make sure that I instantiate Active Directory correctly in order to manage security. So all this dependency is a showstopper to really automate. So at some point, what will end up, people will still do unit tests. It's just that they will do it manually.
Gotcha.
So when they build the class, they will manually test it. But as soon as they finish with this class and they go work on something else, they cannot rerun the test. They cannot validate that now because they changed something, this class now fails.
Right.
So my personal experience is that we as developer and architect right now, we live much more dangerously than stuntmen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, stuntmen, they never take risks.
Right.
But in every organization where I contract, people take lots of risks. They know that it's possible that this class is going to break, but because they don't have automated mm-hmm. tests, they just say, "Oh, it won't fail."
Right.
We know we didn't touch that code, so it won't fail. And the next thing that happened in production, it fails, and now they end up having to build big report explaining why it fails and how it's going not to happen the next time. And they know that because the architecture is so tightly coupled that it will happen the next time. So they just say, well, we'll do our best for the next time, but this is not normal.
Right. So, based on what you said, it sounds like I should be using interface-based references for everything.
Is the problem? If I'm starting making an interface for all the class that I have, and you know, in a complex system, I may have thousands of class.
Mm-hmm.
I'm creating a lot of new module. These
right.
interfaces are module. And in the end result may be that I will create more complexity than the initial complexity.
Right.
And so I'm not a proponent of saying you should protect every collaboration between class with interface.
Right.
What I propose instead is to use a layer of abstraction higher than class. You know, right now in with the .NET framework, there's three ways we can create module. Class is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Component is another one. You know, the assembly. So
right.
it's basically a module for just physical distribution. There's also another module. This is namespace.
Mm-hmm.
And if you use the .NET framework, you know about namespace because this is the way they organize the framework. We can also use namespace to organize our application.
Right.
In layer, for example, I have the UI layer that calls the business domain layer that calls the infrastructure layer. So using namespace, I can organize and aggregate the class in a higher module.
Mm-hmm.
And now between these layers, I'll make sure that I manage the dependency using dependency injection framework, using interface. But inside the layer, I will accept that there's strong coupling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that I have a business domain layer for inventory.
Right.
And inside this layer, there's a class order, there's a class buyer. Do I really care if order and buyer are strongly coupled? No, because usually when I will evolve my software, both class will change in the same time. Mm. What I don't want is that I'm strongly coupled to my persistence engine or to my security, to my logging.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's very important to layer between infrastructure and domain. And if I'm making sure that I encapsulate my class in namespace and that I clearly make a good separation of concern between the concern of infrastructure and problem domain,
right.
I will end up having the capability to easily build automated unit tests.
That makes sense. So I think I get it. So, taking a look at the layers of the application, I should think about within a layer that's okay to have some coupling, but when I start going outside the layer or go to things that are part of the application infrastructure, that in those cases, I want to look at separating out those concerns and looking at different ways.
We've been doing that. You know, everybody organizes their application right now using layer. It's just that namespace has never been a first-class citizen
mm-hmm.
in the .NET platform. Even, if you take the C# compiler, it looks at namespace just as a fancy way to ensure that we have, no name clash with the class name.
Right.
No clash in the class name. But it's much more than that. And because now there's new tool available, one of them, it's a tool called NDPen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a static analysis tool, and it will discover for you all your dependency inside namespace.
Right.
This is a great tool, and it's very cheap. So you just buy that, and you use that in your build server. So you still compile, but you use this tool to make sure that you manage correctly also the dependency between namespace.
Right.
between your layer.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Well, you got to be a little excited with what's coming out with Visual Studio Team System and the Rosario edition in terms of being able to help with this too.
For the last 2 years, I've been helping the Team System group figure out how they should evolve the architecture version of the Team System. Mm-hmm. And one thing that is great is that in the near future, you will be able, with what's coming in, to apply these techniques also using the architecture's queue.
Right.
So the future is Microsoft understands the need for making sure that we as architect can model correctly our application so that we can create quality by design. And so I see a brilliant future for the developer out there and the architect, because we will have more and more capability to build the system correctly first. So right now we're still in a mode where we build something and after the fact we run tests and everything.
Right.
But and this is why unit test is so important, because unit test is usually something that you do first.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way of helping building correctly your design. But as I said, I've seen so many organizations where they cannot really build tests first because they don't manage correctly dependency.
That makes sense. So if you were talking to somebody and they were interested in this, is there any places, any frameworks you might recommend to them that they should look at, or where they might start?
Well, first of all, they should read about doing unit testing,
mm-hmm.
and rapidly they will discover that the big proponent of unit testing and testing first, mm-hmm. will promote using dependency injection framework and mocking framework so that you can clearly manage correctly the dependencies.
Mm-hmm.
So reading books about it is a good starting point. They should also take a look at my website, because I'm going to continue to publish stuff about this way of organizing your application.
Right.
I've even given a name, because the way that I structure and organize my layering, mm-hmm. In module and using dependency injection, instead of saying, well, this is that and that and that, I say, let's give a name to this pattern. And
right.
I've decided to name it the layer module injection pattern.
Okay.
So if you hear about layer module injection pattern, it's just a way to make sure that you create a real module out of your layer, mm-hmm. using namespace, and that you inject your dependency that comes from sublayer using dependency injection framework.
Okay. You mentioned your website. What is your website?
It's my name. So it's MarioCardinal.com.
Okay.
I apologize for the bad English, but it's MarioCardinal.com.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, appreciate the time today. Sounds like